Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Thrill ride here, checking in, shirtless, in my car. Why? Because I just dominated buys, tries, and cardio like an absolute savage. That's why. And a special shout out to all of the brave soldiers who laid their lives down for this great country to give me the opportunity to get absolutely just like Post cereal, shredded wheat. Because it is now the summer. It is here. Maybe not officially, but it's post Memorial Day. And there's a few facts of life that you need to understand. Number one, if you don't do cardio, the workout doesn't count, for it is cardio that makes you rock hardio. If you want to be a diamond, you gotta get cut, bro. All day, every day. Stairmaster. Yup. Treadmill. Yup. Carbs are for gutless cowards. So take it to another level. Rah! See you, Danks.
See you, Dink.
That's the guy. That's the guy, John. You want to stop being a nerd?
Yeah. I got to be just like that.
All right. See you, Dink.
Yeah. I actually sounded like Rochi when he said that at the end.
I am going to... He's a local
guy. Gloves are off in the studio.
What is that guy? Oh, here it is. It's Thrill Ride. He's like a local, he's like a local wrestler. I don't know how...
He's a wrestler? Shocking.
Listen, you want to make fun of the guy? Thrill Ride might have a few things to say to you.
Sure he does.
You're in town. I don't know how he got on my timeline yesterday, but I spent like 30 minutes going through his videos, and he's the best. He's just, he hardly ever wears a shirt. wears like shades indoors. That one right there, he's in his car without a shirt on. And,
but not just shades, not like sunglasses. He's got the Oakley things that the Red Sox wear during like pennant celebrations.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's like almost looks like the Randy Savage ones.
Right. Right.
You used to wear Oakley blades. Yeah. Are they what they call the blades?
Okay.
Just real quick, I found this one too.
Thrill Ride here, and a lot of people have been saying, hey you, Thrilly Dilly, what did you hear, Yanny or Laurel? And I've thought about it, I've researched it, I've watched the video, and all I have to say is I definitely hear, I don't give a single f- what in God's name is this world coming to? Do you really have enough time to go ahead and watch a YouTube video? I hear two robots freaking... talking nonsense. You're probably into anime porn too. You need to be castrated and then provided a lethal injection so you do not procreate and corrupt the gene pool for the next generation. For the love of good God, you need to get your ass in the gym and bombard your biceps like an absolute savage. Oh my God, you suck at life. See ya. Hey Mo.
John needs that joke. By the way, James Stewart's like this right now. He's standing at full attention.
he's saluting.
Yes, sir.
He speaks my language. That's right. Sarge is saluting in front of his radio.
He's getting a Sarge salute. Yeah, I do like the guy. Okay, so Dan, you were telling me something off the air about what happened to you when you got back from Game 6 in Cleveland.
Yeah, just a quick story. I was I flew back. And there's no direct flights to Cleveland, which makes it even worse.
Got to fly through Buffalo.
There's
no direct flights to Cleveland?
No,
not
there's
really.
Like one a day.
Yeah.
And I flew through Philly. I flew through JFK, LaGuardia, others through Washington, D.C., Detroit. All members of the media flew everywhere. So it was like, it took forever. So got back from Game 6 Saturday, landed at about 3 o'clock. My wife and my daughter picked me up, and they said, you want to go to the North End for grab a bite? And I said, sure. So we went over and we parked, you could park across over by Faneuil Hall. Mm-hmm. There's a garage right there.
Sure.
And we decided to go, and then we were crossing the street. And, the nice thing about Boston, it's cleaned up a lot as far as that whole area. It's
the Greenway.
Easier to cross the street. So my wife and I and my daughter are standing at a light, and it's green, and it's the solid red mark. And this old woman comes walking by us with a bag. And there's two lanes coming as going forward. And there was a couple cars stopped at the light in one lane. And all of a sudden this woman looks, and it's still orange, and decides to cross. And she's not even looking. And this bus, my daughter spotted it first. There was a bus going at about 35 miles an hour.
In the second lane.
In the second lane.
Yeah.
That she would have never have seen. And she keeps walking. And it was almost like a movie where it was, she would have gone 50 yards and she got hit. And my daughter first screams. She's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, lady. And my wife is like, hey. Like, we all at the same time yelled. And just as the bus was going by, she stopped and turned and looked at us. And the bus went by, and everybody around us was like, oh, my God, did you just see that? Oh my, and my, our hearts were racing for the next, like, 3 hours because I've never seen anything like that. She came as close to death as you'll ever see, and I was like, you know.
And she turned around and said, Dan Roach, my favorite newscaster.
Dan, well, first she took out her teeth and then said that.
Do you realize that was a dream come true? Like, you've already saved her lives in a million ways just when she watched you on TV. She gave a reason to live.
She looked and then she the bus went flying by and then she just kept walking forward and kept going.
It'd be like Griffey saving my life.
Oh my God.
Same thing. Same thing.
Dan Roach. And then she turns on and she throws the cane down and
oxygen tank comes off and the mask and everything else.
You are just something about you and old women.
Roach saved a life.
How about that, Dan?
Good for you, Dan.
No, it was more about me just, and my daughter.
It was all you. Don't try to spin it.
You ever have one of those situations and your heart is like, oh my, like it was like,
oh sure, yeah. It scares the hell out of you. Just want to know why you do not feel to run out there and grab her and pull her in.
No. I was more concerned about eating. I was hungry. You know what I mean?
Let's just put that aside. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I didn't know this lady. I'm not going to put myself in danger.
Right. Sorry, ma'am.
Jeez, you already were like the number one desire of old ladies everywhere. And with that story right there, once that gets around the old folks' home, Dan,
man,
I'm telling you what,
word of mouth spreads quick, big guy.
My lady in New York, to fool around.
You could walk into Shady Acres right now, and it would be like a Whitman sampler.
I already bought my timeshare at Margaritaville, bitch.
You could go in there, and it's like, choose, it would be like, you know, back in the day of Caesar, it's like, and choose anyone you wish in the brothel.
Ladies, who's up?
Whitman sampler.
That's right, the Whitman sampler.
There's a big sign about each woman as he walks in.
That's right.
The Whitman sampler.
He would just get to pick anyone he wants. What's up? They're all about Danny.
B-17. Bingo! You're with me.
All right, so this is, since you were at the game, you might not have heard Mark Jackson, which is a good thing, because the less you can hear Mark Jackson, the better. I like Jeff Van Gundy. I don't agree with a lot of stuff Jeff Van Gundy says, but at least he's got an opinion, and he's kind of...
Oh, he gave an opinion, didn't he, on the dunk?
Yeah, he said he liked it.
Yeah, but I think he also said that if LeBron had dunked on Tatum,
that was a great
point. It would have been shown 1,000 times, and he was spot on.
He's absolutely right. That was one thing, too. And I know that there was a lot of game being played at that point, so I know the excuse probably, we didn't have time. They would have made time.
They would have come out of breaks. Without, they would have gone to a break with it. Are you kidding me? That one, the stare down that LeBron had when he just stood there underneath the basket for a half hour?
Van Gundy was absolutely right.
Come on.
They would have showed that a million times.
Yes.
But the one thing Mark Jackson said that I did find kind of interesting, because I didn't realize it at the time. I'm not watching the Celtics bench, but Mark Jackson made an interesting point.
No Kyrie Irving on the bench. He is so valuable to this franchise. So valuable to this franchise. You never know what he sees that a coach does not see. If he's just at home chilling or somewhere where it's not important to me, that's a problem. I'd much rather have the great Kyrie Irving in the building.
He's been on the bench quite a bit, but not here tonight.
But this is game 7, Mike. I want him here all the time. He's too valuable. Matter of fact, he's more important than an assistant coach to me.
Okay, so I didn't realize that when the game was going on until he made a mention that Kyrie Irving was not there. Now, Danny Ainge was asked about that.
Yeah, and he said it was a deviated septum.
Yeah, this is what he had to say.
Kyrie was not. Kyrie had a, septum, is that what it's called? Yeah, like a surgery, a deviated septum. Had some surgery on that, and so he was...
In the nose.
Yeah, so I don't think he wanted to be seen. He's a really good-looking guy. He can't ruin his movie career.
Okay, well, I mean, he did bring the yucks there, you know, with the jokes. But so he misses game 7 because he has surgery on a deviated septum. Now, once again, the surgery wasn't done during the game. He could have shown up and had some bandages on his nose or whatever, or he could have chosen to do this a different day. It didn't have to be on that day. You know, this isn't something that can't be rescheduled. What does that say to you about Kyrie Irving?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I love
Kyrie. My gut tells me he should be there. You know, my gut tells me you can get your deviated septum operated on next week. You know, my gut tells me you want to be there for your team. But again, it's not really about him that day. It's about the guys on the court, right?
Well, if it's about the guys on the court, Mark Jackson does make a decent point. He played with a lot of these guys.
That's the problem I'm having reconciling that Mark Jackson made a good point, and I'm kind of pushed into the corner of agreeing with him.
It is weird.
And it really bothers me.
He played with those guys. Yeah. So he might have some sort of insight as to what they might be doing, what someone's tendency could be. And there's part of me, and I don't want to admit it because I love Kyrie Irving. There's part of me that thinks that Kyrie Irving didn't want to be there in case LeBron James won. Like, things went down horribly that there's part of me that thinks that he doesn't want to be on the other side of losing to the team that you left for, that you left, and you're sitting on the losing side of it, despite you not even playing. And that is in conflict to everything that I believed about Kyrie Irving, and that is him being someone who relishes the fight, who wants to be there at the last minute. He wants that pressure, and I thought that part of it kind of made me scratch my head.
Hayward there?
Yeah, he was. Hayward was there. Larkin was there. Tice was there as well. I think everyone was there who was injured, except for Kyrie Irving. And that just sounded to me, of all the excuses to throw out there, that was one that I just thought was not justifiable for missing a game like that. And once again, it's not going to make me think less of Kyrie Irving. It just kind of disappoints me. That of all the things, Kyrie, because we all agree, he could have been a help right there.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's someone who could have been there. And more than anything, I'm with John Wallach. It pisses me off that Mark Jackson actually made a good point.
I know, right?
And then you have to, and then you can't skip over it. You have to admit it.
Right, then you have to admit it. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, my gut tells me yes. You know what I mean? Like, everybody should be there. You know, and again, you put it off for a week or what have you. But you know what? For this one, I guess, I give him a pass. You know what I mean? It's disappointing.
Game 7,
you know,
against,
like,
the Cavs.
It's like being a parent. It's like, I'm a little disappointed in you, which maybe makes you feel worse as a kid. So that's the way I would say it.
All right,
just a little disappointed.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No Kyrie Irving on the bench. He is so valuable to this franchise. So valuable to this franchise. You never know what he sees that a coach does not see. If he's just at home chilling or somewhere where it's not important, to me, that's a problem. I'd much rather have the great Kyrie Irving in the building.
He's been on the bench quite a bit, but not here tonight.
But this is game 7, Mike. I want him here all the time. He's too valuable. Matter of fact, he's more important than an assistant coach to me.
And then Mark Jackson said, "Mama, there goes that man." And I threw something at the television.
Hand down, man.
Hand down, man down. Like Beyonce says, to the left, to the left. He's got 1,000 of those that, as they said, I like. And Breen's like a consummate professional. And although Breen, boy, he overmodulated the mic. He was so excited every time LeBron James would do something. Every time he hit a three, he freaked out. But then again, that's the ESPN way. I'm used to that by now. Let's go to Tim. Tim, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich with Dan Roach.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I got to defend Kyrie and the deviated septum and just say one thing.
Okay.
If David Price had the same procedure, he'd be out for the year.
You might be right about that, and he would let you know what an Iron Man he was that he got the surgery in the first place.
I'm willing to give Kyrie a pass on that one. You know what I mean? It's just like it's in the big scope of the world.
He's earned enough goodwill for you to.
Yes, he's fine.
But there, it is interesting, though, in the game that you could have. There's part of me that thinks, you could have moved it. You could have moved it one day or the other, in one direction or the other.
Well, we don't know the dynamics of it, too, and everything else. You know, maybe Kyrie said, I'd like to be there, and maybe the Celtics medical staff or Danny said, don't worry about it. You know, get the thing done, make sure you take care of yourself, and we'll be okay.
Well, then show up with bandages on your face. And then people will be like, oh, that's cool that he's still here. Like, he could have been home, but he's not. He showed up, and he's here. You know, show up with the bandages on your face or whatever it ends up looking like. I kind of Googled it to see just how bad it is. I mean, your face is kind of banged up, but, you know, that is a game they could have used you. They could have actually used some of your inside knowledge of what happens there. Maybe you wouldn't have even been, they wouldn't have asked you for anything. They would have completely stuck to the game plan. But just in case, you know, he would have been there to help them out. I said,
maybe he feels a little uncomfortable in that situation.
I don't
too,
like, because see, I don't like but, that. But, that's no, the thing that scares me.
No, not
me.
The LeBron part, Rich. The fact that, you know, maybe like every huddle, should he be come over to Terry Rozier and say something? Every, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't have to say anything.
But he's not a coach.
But you could be on the bench.
Yeah, but then again, you're like, okay, so then they're looking at him, so maybe he says, I see something. I should say something. Like, I just don't know
what
how
if Rozier
comfortable he is
goes
in that
to Kyrie
role.
And says, hey, what do you think about X? Or like, maybe somebody on the team is like, you know,
you know what? I think I should be out there. So get back out there.
Yeah. Right? I mean, more of a calming you know, influence than a guy that can't shoot straight.
Yeah, I know. It just leaves the question as to whether or not Kyrie Irving felt nervous about possibly being there when the team that he left ends up beating his team. That's it. That's it. And that question's out there. But Kyrie has earned enough goodwill with his team for me to not think worse of him. It just was something that made me scratch my head.
Yeah. On my list of things, all everything sure. else and everything, that's like way down on my list.
All right. So let's get to Marcus Smart, because we were talking about this earlier. Marcus Smart, Jackie McMullen wrote an article saying that Marcus Smart believes he's worth more than the $12 to $14 million that's being rumored as to what he would cost to sign him. How much money, if you are Danny Ainge, would you be willing to give up to keep Marcus Smart?
You know, I think this is a classic case of go out there and see what's on the market, right? And then come back to us. I think that's basically how you have to handle this, because I don't think anybody knows the market. As far as a guy like this, this is one of those classic chemistry intangible questions. You know, the stats don't say he's a $14, $15 million player, $20 million player, like maybe he thinks he is. But anybody that has him, when you have him on your team, you know how important he is. So I think that's all part of it here. I think, you know, the conversations he said yesterday, I need to have conversations with my parents. His mom is undergoing chemotherapy and, sure. and treatment for cancer. Is that a factor? Does she want to stay in Boston? Is that part of that equation here?
Does she live here or is she still in Dallas?
She's still in Dallas, I believe.
Okay.
But
so I don't think that would really affect. Well, I mean,
no, but it just depends on comfort wise. And are you, you know, you okay if I go here or go there? His family means everything to him. And if you have any questions about Marcus Smart and what fuels him and everything else, just Google Marcus Smart childhood. And there's USA
it's
Today
awful.
Article that comes up right away. You'll be like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
it's
I
crazy.
Think there's a lot of factors here, but I think he also wants the money. You know what I mean? So to me, You have to have a conversation. He said all the right things yesterday, and Danny said all the right things yesterday, but you have to have a conversation is how badly do you want to be here? And then, you know, the qualifying offer is what, six and a half, 6.1. So if I get up to somewhere around 13, 14, maybe, you know, 15-ish maybe, then I think long and hard about keeping him. If he gets anything above that, I just think you have to say, in light of what we're trying to do here and the future of Tatum and Brown and everything else, you may have to let him go and see if Danny, and again, I go back to Danny and trusting Danny that he'll have the confidence to say, this is our end point, our breaking point, and I'll go out and try to find a player that's like him that brings those intangibles.
In a way, the Celtics are kind of lucky that he's a restricted free agent instead of an unrestricted free agent. If you're an unrestricted free sure. agent, maybe the Celtics have to be more proactive. But by definition, all that's required is the qualifying offer, and he's your property until someone beats the offer that you have. Smart is averaging about 10 points a game for his career. He was right around that this year. He's never shot better than 37% from the field in his 4 years in the NBA.
But his plus-minus is probably astounding.
In the last 3 years, he's shooting about 29% from three. Does that scream $15 million a year? Again, offense, you pay for offense. Offense sells, and if it's another NBA team, you can sell that to your fans. It's real tough to sell $15 million a year, regardless of what a wizard he is on defense, to your fans. This guy's never played more than 30 minutes a game. I mean, it's just you need to figure out what kind of price you can put on defense. And I don't think that big offer is going to come in. Don't think that an NBA team, I mean, there are a lot of dumb NBA teams out there. The Celtics have gotten rich off of these dumb NBA teams. Mm-hmm. There might be a dumb general manager that says, you know what? Let's pay this guy $15, $16, $17 million a year to be our starting point guard. But I got to believe that's not the case for such a one-sided player.
And does Danny see somebody else in the NBA?
That's what I was thinking.
Agent that he said, if this I've watched this guy for a long time.
Yep.
I might bring him in, or does he see somebody in the draft if maybe they want to try to move up or, you know, higher than 27 and try to get that kind of guy too? So, I go back to the trust data. The one thing I would do if I was Marcus Smart, this is the classic case, and we've seen it over the years, I would hire Scott Boris right away, right? Because he would write a book, and he would find a way to make Marcus Smart the franchise
player. Just what basketball
player,
needs, right? Scott effing Boris.
Tell me that. He'd be that guy that would be a book about what makes his plus minus
and ring binder.
Else, right?
Oh, sure.
He's greater than, LeBron James in this category.
Right. No one can polish stats better than Scott Boris. Absolutely. And the one thing, too, about Marcus Smart is that I've kind of, you have to also look at the kind of money that they're going to have to spend a little bit down the road, because Marcus Smart's probably going to want like a 4-year deal out of this. And this is going to be something that, you know, you want to make sure that your money isn't tied up when it's time to get Jaylen Brown under contract if you decide to keep him, and Jason Tatum as well.
Yeah, and is there a worry anymore about court activities? Does Danny worry about that? Right?
Wonder how big of a deal that was.
The punching of the glass frame in L.A.
Yeah. Well, Danny wanted to kind of remind everybody of that yesterday. They were asking about Marcus Smart.
Yeah, because the reporter said a big picture question, and Danny was all over that.
Yeah, and Ainge's answer to that was the following, right here.
That was good, clever big picture. That was good. Other than the big picture in his bathroom in L.A., it was.
Danny doesn't forget. Danny doesn't forget that, you know, Marcus Smart lost his mind and punched a picture.
And that's something other NBA teams have to think about, not just Danny. I mean, if you buy Marcus Smart, you buy the whole package. You buy the volatile player. I mean, as even-keeled as he'd like to have you believe he is, there's still that piece of him. And it makes him good out on the floor, but it's another part.
Where's it fit for him? That's the other thing, is who's going to pay him that money? Because then you can't say to your fan base that we're bringing in a franchise type of player here.
No, because you're not.
Right. Sure. It's almost like
Washington Wizards. He's an ancillary piece.
Right. Again, like a Wizards 15. Team with Wall and Beal and everything else that need maybe that glue guy. Then you could sell it, but I don't know.
You can't pay a bench player. I mean, I understand Evan Turner got all that money, but you can't pay a $15, $16 million a season guy.
No, you eliminate
as a bench
half
player.
The teams in the end.
If you want to be competitive,
you just say you have to be a team that says, we're cool on offense. Completely cool. We got shooters. We got guys who can take over a
That's
game.
That's where he fits
That's
in.
It. And there aren't a ton of those teams. We're like, man, we got it. We got two, three guys we can go to at any given point.
Right.
And they can make a shot. I mean, how big is that list? It's not that big. However,
New Orleans would be an intriguing market, because, and then you could sell Smart on it.
Sure.
Look, you see Anthony Davis. You see Cousins. You see everything.
Well, that would be crazy.
It would be crazy.
It's a great fit.
But you'd also say, listen, Marcus, we may not be able to
pay you. Well, then you got two guards
you
can't shoot.
Right. But, you know,
then you got Rondo.
You know what I mean?
Rondo and Smart on the floor at the same
that
time.
Forget that.
Jesus.
I take it back.
That's like the worst game of horse ever. Between the two of them.
So, all right, you got
back of lunch. We're in for the night.
Yeah. It's like a 3-point contest between the Celtics and the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. The T-Wolves. That'd be a great fit, too. Danny O'Brien.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've kind of resigned to the thing. I think that Danny Ainge is going to look at this. And in my opinion, personally, I would be comfortable with them spending $15 a year for like 4 years. Like,
I think it's going to be less than that.
I think it's too.
But I'm
you saying think he'll get less than that in the open market?
I don't. I really have a hard time thinking that a team's going to come at him 4 years and $70 million.
But to he's worth that.
You saw what Portland did, and that turned out to be a gigantic mistake. I know, but he's more offensively gifted than Smart does. Again, you pay for offense. No one pays this much for defense.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, Dan.
Nerd fight.
Jesus.
I like this. It's nerd against nerd. Actually, there's super nerd versus kind of nerd, according to our listeners.
Stay in your lane, Dan.
No, 68% of our viewers say that you're the bigger nerd.
Dan's going to print this out and like have it on the wall of his office.
He has
Warwick
a right to.
Is a bigger nerd.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found one, Pam.
Can
I there he is.
Head? Make your fat head of my office.
Make a sign. Put it around your neck.
I got one in the back you can take.
We do. It's creeping everybody out. Just kind of creepily peers through the door in the background. Just
watch
giant
John
eyes.
Wallach,
scared the hell out of Flynn's kid over the weekend.
Yes, it did. Scares the hell out of all children. That's why you see parents pulling them aside when you walk down the street. 617-779-0985. If you are bummed about the Celtics, if you are bummed about the Bruins, there is one team that is easy to get behind. And it's a team that is going to make your next 2 weeks fun as hell, because there's a team in Las Vegas that if you aren't a fan of the Golden Knights, you do not have a pulse.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Buffer. Huh?
Not just because that Dave Gosher is the voice of them, not because Shane Knighty, the sheriff, is out there as well, but because their pregame shows and everything that has to do with this team, except for the fact that it was a bunch of ex-Bruins who scored yesterday, is something that you can easily get behind. We'll talk about that and some other issues involving the Celtics right after John Wallach's headlines.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Got into the back, England. Across now to Theodore. But off the stick of Smith-Pelly. Couldn't get it by Theodore. Theodore moving on with it now. Through the
Okay, by now we all know the story of the Las Vegas Golden Knights and how it is the best story in sports. It's that a expansion team in its very first year is now in the Stanley Cup Final, and now they are they've already won one. So it's 1-0 them against the Washington Capitals, and it's always funny when the Capitals lose, and it's going to be even funnier if they end up losing in the Stanley Cup Final after finally getting there after, what, 19 years, and they lose to the first-year expansion team.
Yeah.
Was it 19 years or was it 89? I forget. It's been a long, long time.
88, and they got beat by Detroit in like four straight.
Okay,
so,
is that what it was?
I think that's right.
So it's a little longer than that. The best thing about Las Vegas, other than, of course, the great story, however, if you are a Bruins fan, it kind of hurt a little bit last night because you had three ex-Bruins all scoring
all
in the first period.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 6-4 was the final score yesterday. But the best, my favorite part about Vegas is that it's pissing off all of these
old
farts who are like, I want to keep hockey pure. So if you haven't seen it, during the postseason, the Vegas Golden Knights have the most over-the-top pregame ceremony that you've ever seen. Now, I know that the Canadians, they had that thing on the ice. I don't know if they were one of the first people in hockey to do that, but it was one of the first ones that I really remember going, wow, that's impressive, where they would project flames and things onto the ice, and there was the guy with the lamp that would skate out, and they would set it on fire, and there would be all this. And I think it might be Calgary that does that, but they would have the big show on the ice. Vegas takes that and like puts it on steroids. So last night it started off and there's these guys, there's a castle that is like somewhere off of the rink. And you see a knight come out and a couple of his like knight friends. Yeah, they got the horns and everything, and they hold up a sword and they shoot an arrow onto the ice, and the ice turns into a bunch of flames. And then there is a giant helmet that comes down to the stage, and two knights fight each other. They duel. Now, a couple of games ago, when one of the Winnipeg Jets knights was defeated, he flew up to the ceiling and disappeared. And in this case, the Golden Knight hits his sword into the ice, and it looks like it cracks and it kills the dude who is the Capitals guy. But then the celebrity fans that Vegas brings by, you can't beat it. You know, here we've got Ben Affleck, we've got Maria Menounos, we've got Donnie Wahlberg. In Vegas, yesterday you had Dave Gosher interviewing Lil Jon on Facebook Live, Carrot Top, Chris Angel.
He doesn't look washed out at all, Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
I know, right? The
guy who brought Sexy back to Magic, Chris Angel. And like they give them FaceTime where they're talking and doing like on-screen interviews. It's like the worst season of Celebrity Apprentice ever. Like they just got like all of these D-list celebrities who are all like 100% involved and sitting there right in the front, Mark Davis, just wearing like a pink orange shirt that looks like it's got stains on it, just oblivious to what's going on in front of him. And then, of course, there's really nothing better than when you're going to make your team introductions and you want to make a splash. There's only really one person.
I like
you can
this.
Get.
This was cool.
Oh, it was great. Dude, it was unbelievable. And first of all, by the way, this guy has the ultimate gig. Let's take a listen.
These are your Vegas Golden Knights. Now tell me, what time is it? What time is it?
That is Michael Buffer, who, by the way, I'm not a huge fan of, because there was a period of time where any time that you said, let's, I can't even say it, let's get ready to blank.
Yeah.
His big term.
Sue your ass.
He honestly would send the station a cease and desist, and you could not use that term. He's copyrighted it.
Yeah.
So that guy gets paid something like six figures just to show up and say that in front of an arena of people. So he's got the ultimate gig. But the fact that they brought him in there at the end, I love it. And all of these old fart hockey fans are getting pissed off by all of this and that the Golden Knights are doing what they're doing. You know what? Keep on effing up the system and keep on putting Carrot Top and Chris Angel on TV because it's like so embarrassingly great. Like, who's going to be next? Like, Jaleel White? Like, Urkel's going to be the next celebrity fan? It is honestly like you take the worst episode of The Surreal Life. Oh, Vince Neil. Vince Neil is a fan of the band, and he's going nuts about it, too. Like, as D-level fan as you can get, and that's what makes them so unashamedly fantastic. And Penn and Teller? Huh? You're going to give Penn and Teller screen time? Well, of course you are, because they're from Vegas. So you got to be rooting for these guys. It's one of the best stories in sports, and it's fun as hell, and it's everything that's wrong which makes it right. This team should not be winning. There should not be these gigantic, over-the-top presentations before the game, and you should not be rooting for a team in which Carrot Top and Chris Angel are both fans of, but damn it, I'm going to, because it's against everything we all believe in. Let's take a couple calls.
And it was the best number one, best overnight rating for a game one in 3 years.
You know, they need this. They need this. Hockey needs something like this.
I agree.
So I think it's.
I was flipping.
Phenomenal.
You know, the Golden State Houston in the Stanley Cup game.
Did you hear that? That Celtics game 7, Celtics Cavs, is the highest rated playoff game in the history of ESPN.
Wow!
It tied only one other game, and it was a Celtics Cavaliers game back in 2012.
I think that's right.
All right, Steven, you've been on hold for a while. You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
question. I'm gonna try to add the runes in for a second, but I was just wondering. Now that the season's over, do you think that they're gonna make a move for Kawhi Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns? Because I know that those rumors are gonna start flying in. Like, do you think that they'd try trading for those guys, and what kind of package you think they'd get?
Well, Steven, real quick, Steven, the one thing I would say about Kawhi Leonard is I want to stay away from Kawhi. There's really nothing that I would want to trade for him right now, and I know he's fantastic, but there's so many red flags with what's going on with him. And you've got these young stars coming up, and you'd have to commit a ton of money to that guy. I don't think that's not a direction you want to go in. The only player I see this team wanting to make a big trade for and some sort of splash that would be worth it is Anthony Davis.
Right.
Anthony Davis just qualified for what's called a super max contract, which means that the Pelicans could sign him for $70 million more than he would get here in total for the length of the contract. Now, that could mean one or two things. One, that could mean that Anthony Davis is like, I ain't going anywhere. I'm making this money. It could also mean that the New Orleans Pelicans might go, I don't know if we want to spend that. I don't know if this is too far out of our, like, we realize this guy is a generational player. But my God, people aren't coming to our games. People aren't sitting in our seats, despite we've had Anthony Davis. So maybe they would be willing to trade him in order to not have to eventually pay that salary.
They were so good in the second half of the season, and Anthony Davis was...
They're in the West. They're not winning
unbelievable.
Anything.
I understand all your points. They don't have a chance to win in the West, or at least two or three teams better. And if LeBron goes out West, that whatever team LeBron James joins is better. I think that New Orleans looked at it and went to the second round of the playoffs because of Anthony Davis. I don't think they're worried about paying Anthony Davis. The only reason they would trade him would be if they thought they could somehow get better having traded him.
What if they trade for Tatum, a guy they wouldn't have to pay a ton of money for?
You'd have
to give up Tatum.
You would have to.
Probably Tatum, Jalen Brown, and a pick.
Yeah, at least. At least.
Would you do that?
Anthony Davis said, I trade everybody for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a generational player.
Having said all of that, the other side of the argument is, are the Celtics a favorite to go to the NBA Finals and perhaps win it just by doing nothing?
Win it? I don't know.
Yes.
Get there? Yes.
No, win it? Yes.
Are they better?
Absolutely.
They're better than Golden State?
I don't know if they're better, but if you put them in a seven-game series with Hayward and
they would be competitive.
With everybody healthy, they would be competitive.
And everybody healthy? Absolutely.
And I agree with that. I say, to get to the finals, to win it?
I don't put anything past Stevens and that team.
Not that they couldn't win it, but they're not the favorite to win it.
No, but they could win it.
Sure,
I agree. Then you also have to wonder what else they would have besides Davis, and are they good enough to go the same route?
Oh, with Davis, I thought you meant just as constituted.
No. As currently constituted.
As currently constituted, yes. I think that they are the favorite to make it to in the East to make it to the finals, not to win it. Golden State's still going to be the favorite.
I think they
would
be.
Because the Celtics haven't proven anything yet.
I understand that. But I think if you add, with all the experience the young guys have gotten it, and you add two proven veterans to that team, especially because Irving and Hayward fill in all of the problems that the Celtics had against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, Danny said at his breakup press conference yesterday he's not looking to do anything. Take that for what it's worth. I mean, he said a lot of the same things last year. Maybe New Orleans comes back and says, we'll trade you Anthony Davis for X, Y, and Z, and he changes his mind. But if he chooses to do nothing, you can't blame Danny for that. No, I think he's got the roster to compete.
This is the most low-stress offseason that the Celtics could have that I can remember in forever. Yeah. I mean, since they first got the big three. I mean, I talk about low stress. If he makes no moves, who's freaking out about that? The only thing they can do is do something stupid. Like, I don't know, trade one of these stars for...
Injuries are the only thing that could derail this team. Again, if one of the big two here, if Irving or Hayward gets hurt again,
sure,
next year, that's the problem.
All right, we will be right back and see what Zolak and Bertrand have coming up.
We're talking to Matthew Slater.
Watch any playoff game where he has...
So do you want to win or do you want to develop...
That should have been a team that you could turn it loose against.
Kutcher and Rich, Zolak and Bertrand, Felger and Mass, Adam Jones, 98.5, The Sports Hub. You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I used to have a hat that said that. 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich.
I don't doubt it, except not for a second.
The word was Biggins. we got Dan Roach. He's been in studio, and now Zolak's here. Hey, are both you guys going to the Best Buddies Challenge on Friday?
I'll probably be there.
You're not?
Prom night.
Oh.
Pictures at the house. Yeah, not for me. I'm not going to anybody's prom.
Okay.
Yeah, I've not been asked by anybody to go to prom.
All right, and this is your daughter, right?
Yeah.
Is this her first prom?
It is. It's a first and last.
All right. Well, as a dad, how does that feel?
I'll show you the dress when you're leaving.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you approve? I mean, is this something? Do you know this guy?
Nope. Don't know him. Football player at the high school. She won't bring him around.
Which means you hate him even more.
So Friday might be an issue.
Oh, boy.
But they're going like a bunch of couples. They're taking one of those big vans, you know?
Yeah.
The prom is at the stadium, which is great because I know all the special ops people.
They got you covered.
You know what's amazing? They bang out four proms a night on Friday and Saturdays. So they've been doing it since the beginning of May at the same time. They split the clubs in half, and each half of the club, you know, the red seats there, that's where they do the proms.
Okay. And you haven't met this guy?
No, I haven't. But I talked to Team Ops, and they said, we have the escalators. They come in through the main gate. Escalators go up. They can't get back down. So they're all stuck.
So they got it covered.
Okay.
And I said, you have video and surveillance. I said, video all over it. And I said, here's her picture. And you just keep me up to
date. So watch the movie Blockers before you go see that, because it's exactly what that's about. So
bingo.
It's pretty good.
Is this a situation where they are coming directly home after prom?
Oh, I'll pick her up, yeah.
Okay. You're going to pick her up from prom?
I'm going to pick her up from the prom party.
Okay, so there's an after prom party.
Then there's a prom party, and then I'll pick her up.
Okay, and this is not at someone's house. This is like a...
No,
like,
it's at someone's house.
You know the house?
No.
Know the people?
That's why I'm picking them up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I once did that. My daughter went to Andover High School, and they asked the phys ed, the basketball coach. No. Asked me to speak to the... He does this great thing for all the kids in his class. But my daughter was a senior or junior, and I said... And she was part of the people that received this day in Boston as part of what being... good performers all year. And I said to the group, I said, all right, coach, could you ask all the boys in the bleachers here to stand up? And he said, sure, why? I said, just have them stand up. I stood up and I said, listen, see that girl right there in the second row? That's my daughter, Tori. Any of you call her, look at her, have anything to say to her?
Tori!
I know the police, I know the FBI, I know firefighters, and I'll be all over your case. So leave her alone.
And
my daughter's like 50 shades of red.
Oh, sure. And to all those guys, it's like, you just issued a challenge.
your high school kid mind. That's how you say.
Challenge accepted, Danny Roach. What are you going to do, hit me with one of your Donald Duck socks?
That's right. It's like, leave my baby girl alone.
That's true. There really isn't a lot of weight to that, is there? That's a good point.
I got friends that can take
is like a rubber duck gets thrown at your head. You know,
I do love it, Zolak, because I love that. Because I don't doubt for a second you've talked to all those guys down at Fenway.
I did two appearances down there last week.
All right.
Will you be emotional?
No, I'll probably be emotional at graduation.
Yeah. Yep. I got you.
Okay.
And then when you drop her off at college, that's
anxious.
The tough one.
Yep. Anxious prom night.
I don't. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
She's a good kid.
She does. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, I won't be bugged by the. I'll be more like into the graduation.
How was your prom night?
Awesome, man. Just got my. So I found the letter of intent was already signed. I got the silver IROC. At that point, I drove brand new pair of jam shorts. We went to West Virginia.
You wore jams to prom?
I wore them off to the post prom picnic.
Oh, okay.
All right. The next day, we went down to West Virginia whitewater rafting, a couple parties down there.
Did you do anything that you would not want her date to the prom to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, at least he's not a football player or anything like you were. So, he
is. Rich?
I'm excited today, though. I mean, you know, we had a new intern last week.
Here we go.
Today we have our second one, and we got a live one, buddy.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, you got a nickname for him yet?
What do you think? What are you looking at?
Yeah. Looks you got a nickname?
Got a little ostrich look to him.
Okay.
I'm going to think it. I kind of like Divot.
Divot?
Divot?
With the hair, or like a golf divot. Clint. Clint comes to mind.
Clint.
I don't know.
Okay, no one breaks in interns like Scott Zolak.
Seriously.
So, you get a kid from Wellesley, so there's like a
Felger connection.
Man, internship for our show is so easy. It's like the easiest gig ever.
Well, I mean, look at Bird. Just turn around, look at the ball guy. Don't be him. That's all. That's all I got.
Our standards are so low.
Well, when does our new intern start?
I don't even know his name.
Next week? You hired him inside of 30 seconds. I can't imagine why he wouldn't know his name.
Where did he go to school?
He came in and was like, hey, how's it going? I said, okay, here's the thing. Learn about the show and you're hired. That was basically
essentially it.
And then it looked like he was trying to convert me.
Fred going to make it in tomorrow? Or we pray for Fred?
It's not Fred. It's a family member who's sick.
Okay.
So I will, you know, hopefully he will be back tomorrow. Dan, thanks for coming at the last minute. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Bye, nerd.
See you, nerd.